Now let us turn, if you will, please, to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. This is a judgment upon Ariel. Chapter 29 discusses how God is punishing him. And this text of ours, the sixth verse, it pretty well summarizes the way in which God has used earthquakes. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquakes and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. I've always believed that there was certain things in ministry that related to timing. And there was a certain thing in the ministry where you sought to bring the flock and lead the people the way they'd have things in their heart and about them. And all of that would give them a very special assurance that we're strangers, that we're pilgrims, but we're moving through a world where judgment is falling upon it, and we're aware of it. And so I decided that this morning I'd lay aside the message on the church in my house and would just show you some of the things that are in the Bible about earthquakes and how God uses them and how they are to be a testimony to the fact that He's getting ready to do something so far as our earth is concerned. Now, you're all aware of the earthquake in Iran that came in on Thursday morning. It's been prime news ever since. And as I came this morning, I was heard on the radio that 50,000 people died. And 500,000 have been wounded. And how many thousands and thousands have lost their houses? And the whole human race is stirred with this, and the nations are flooding their relief in there on a humanitarian basis. To meet these good people. But the pictures you've seen and the stories that have come through are very emotional. They're very pathetic. They're very sad. And this is a part of Iran where the religion is Mohammedanism. The shock that this has given to many, many people, and you and I certainly do enter into it. As you see these pictures of this crippled man saying, my wife's gone, my children's gone, nobody's left but me. And these emotional scenes are spread around the world. Now, we Christians have a perspective. We Christians have a record. We Christians have, which is the most blessed thing you and I possess, a revelation. This book is a revelation from God. And the same God that made the heavens and made the earth, holds it all in the hollow of His hand, is the same God who gave us this book. And because we believe the book and understand the book, we can understand what God is doing in nature. We can understand what God is doing in these calamities of this kind. Yes, He plants His footsteps in the deep and He rides upon the storm. And God Almighty does when and where and what He pleases. And this is, they say, the worst earthquake that we've had, none quite equaling this. And our Lord did tell us, and I'll get to that, that in the last days there would be earthquakes, and large earthquakes, great earthquakes. And as I saw the headlines in some of the papers, the headlines almost repeated the words of the Bible. Mammoth earthquake, great earthquake. And I read the headline, and I said, for goodness sake, my Bible says that's what's going to happen. And the newspapers finally discovered it. But the whole world is aware of the fact that something terrible has fallen upon mankind. And in the light of how God is going to use earthquakes, It gives you and me a real solemn sense that God is getting ready to do more, to follow through in what He's promised us He would do. And you and I are very, very close to the coming of the Lord Jesus. When that momentous event will take place, in the twinkling of an eye, as we all believe, these graves that have in them the dust of the children of God will come up. And when I heard that all this happened out there in Iran in 1 minute, just 1 minute, and then I think that the Lord says, in the twinkling of an eye shall the trumpet sound and the dead shall be raised. God can do anything He wants in the twinkling of an eye, but He moves a bit in this way. And you and I live on this earth, we go about it, we see the sunrise, we see the storms, and we're aware of the fact that God made it all, God has it all in His hand, and God's going to do what He pleases to the world. Now this text that I have in Isaiah is a beautiful text. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake. So the first point of my message today is that we'll see the references to the earthquake in the Scriptures. And then after we get through that, we'll see the references to the earthquake to the resurrection. And then we'll see the earthquake, the final great earthquake that we have in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. But will you turn with me, please, to these references? Take Amos. Turn to chapter 1 of the book of Amos. The words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the day of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. It must have been such a terrible earthquake that they dated their actions by that earthquake. As I have been privileged, as you know, in these last years, to go to the Middle East and Asia Minor, and you go to the remains of the old Roman temples and Roman buildings, and they're smashed, they're broken over, they're piled up, and when you ask anybody, well, what happened? Well, this was all done by an earthquake, you know. I remember the first time I went to Baalbek, that's your Baal there in Lebanon. You can't go there anymore, and here was this magnificent temple of Baal, thrown over here and everything else, and they said, well, the earthquake did this. The earthquake did this. You cannot go to Ephesus, you cannot go anywhere throughout the Far East, but the earthquake did it. The earthquake did it. The earthquake did it. God shook the ground, destroyed those temples, and here we've got nothing but just the remains to look at. And they should remind us that God is the one that disposes of what He wants to dispose of when He gets ready for it. Now this passage in Amos is a beautiful passage. Now will you turn with me over to Zechariah 14? I know that's one that we're very familiar with. And in verse 5, this is, of course, the coming of the Lord to the top of the Mount of Olives when His feet will stand there. We'll be in the heavens with Him. He shall gather His elect from one end of the heavens to the other. And His feet shall stand there upon the Mount of Olives. And now we come down. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. We've got a problem, as you know, with Jerusalem, because since Titus destroyed the city and destroyed the temple, there's been nothing there. And we are all aware of the fact that in the tribulation period, as given to us in Daniel 9, that there's going to be a temple there. There's going to be a temple that will be rebuilt, and this world dictator that we're expecting to take the hand of everything, he will make this covenant with Israel. They're trying to get an agreement, some sort of an agreement. He'll make a covenant with Israel for 7 years. in the midst of those 7 years, he'll break it. He'll go into that temple himself and offer himself as God. Now that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then we're told that he will sacrifice a pig on that altar. Most blasphemous thing that could be done. Now that's at the middle of the tribulation period. So here we're told that there are going to be these various disturbances. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. And people have said, well, here's the Mosque of Omar with all its beauty for Mohammedan and their one God with no Trinity, sitting there at the very spot on Mount Moriah where Abraham brought his son Isaac to sacrifice it. Well, now people have said, how are we going to get rid of that Mosque of Omar? If anybody dared touch that, you'd have an uprising in the Middle East. Well, the answer is, and you see it here, that there will probably be a great earthquake. There's going to be a great earthquake that's going to hit Jerusalem one of these days, and they'll say we've got to now clean the place out and get our temple in. But world events that are shaping in Jerusalem, around Jerusalem, and the way in which the Jews are moving, all of these things are signs to you and me who have the Bible that the time of the end, when the consummation is outlined in this Bible, will come true. And to know this and to be able to see it and then to follow it is a wonderful thing for your heart and your mind, as you and I know that before too long the Lord will come and we'll be returned with our loved ones and we'll have the times of the millennium that He's promised us. So we're at a very special, a very beautiful place in an understanding of God's dealing with our days and with our times. Now let us turn to some of these other places of the earthquake. And I want you to turn with me now to the Gospel of Matthew. We're all familiar with Matthew 24, Matthew 27, Matthew 28, but here we have references to the earthquake. And in Matthew 24, verse 7, we have it here. For nation shall rise against nation. Now this is the Olivet Discourse. This is His final word. Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name and shall deceive many. Well, we accept that sign readily. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, there's plenty of that. Ye shall be, when you see these things, be not troubled. And that's what a message like this would do for our hearts. It removes any thought of trouble because we know things are going to happen. These things must needs come to pass. They're just before the end comes. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. We've got them. We've got the pestilence of AIDS now. We've got that. And earthquakes in divers places. These are the beginning of sorrow. These are the beginning of sorrows. Now we can turn over to Matthew 27. And here you have a beautiful reference here. Over the 27th chapter of Matthew. And you get to the 54th verse. And you are familiar with that. Let's begin reading with verse 55. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. This is the crucifixion. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake. When Christ gave up the ghost, the moment of his death, Jerusalem was shaken. And the rocks rent. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, this truly was the Son of God. Turn over to chapter 28. In the 28th chapter. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Isn't that beautiful? When he died, there was an earthquake. When he came out of the tomb, there was an earthquake. And how that does sanctify earthquakes to you and me. God used the earthquake at the time of Christ's death, and he used it at the time of his resurrection. And he can use earthquakes to vindicate his son. He can use earthquakes any way he wants to. And that's what's happening with these earthquakes that we're hearing right now. Now I'd like to turn with you to some of these other passages we have. Will you turn with me to Luke? You're familiar with the Luke passage. In fact, both Mark and Luke and Matthew all give us this point of the earthquake. And in Luke 21, verse 11, great earthquakes shall be in divers places. Famines and pestilence and fearful signs and great signs there shall be from heaven. I saw in the paper yesterday where one of the accounts gave the earthquakes we had in Japan, the earthquakes we had in San Francisco, and then it pointed out how these earthquakes seemed to be coming at a more frequent interval than they did. And then they gave how many were killed in this one, how many were killed in that one. But no earthquake that we know of has killed 50,000 people in 1 minute. So it's a great earthquake that hit us, and it points me to the fact that there is going to be an earthquake the like of which the world has never seen, and that'll be just at the close of the tribulation when Jesus comes back. There's going to be a battle of Armageddon, don't forget that. The war isn't over. The battle of Armageddon is named in the scripture there in the 16th chapter. Now, after this, will you turn with me to Acts 16. You're familiar with the Philippian jailer, you know, you're aware of that. But in the 16th chapter, we had a very remarkable use of the earthquake. And you come on down to the 26th verse. This is the account of Paul and Silas being thrown in the jail. And the multitude rose up together against them, that is, they were hating the two evangelists, and when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. When Luke wrote this, he had to put the word great in there, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had all fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice. He'd got his hands freed. Do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, it took an earthquake to get that old prisoner, jailer, saved. And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in my house. They say they, that's Paul and Silas. They both use the same text. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So in the ministry of the gospel, the missionary work that Paul had, God on this occasion used an earthquake to get a man saved. used an earthquake to give the apostles the opportunity to preach the marvelous gospel that they would be believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when you take these things through the Bible and see how these earthquakes have come along and how these earthquakes are in the hand of God, they're in the purpose of God. And I would pray that out of this present earthquake, I'm going to speak on the radio and my television today, I did it, but I want to pray that God will reach men's hearts, that God will reach people's hearts. And when they tell you in the newspapers that 50,000 people died in a shake that lasted 1 minute, it ought to be enough to make people say, I better get ready. I better get myself straightened out. I better get it on the Lord's side. I better do it. Now with that, I want you to turn with me over to the book of Revelation, where we do have some very strong uses of the earthquakes, and we go to chapter 6, verse 12, in the book of Revelation, and then we'll get into chapter 8 and chapter 11, and finally chapter 16. My, it's wonderful to find all these things in the Bible and to then relate them to our own hearing and understanding and what's going on at the present time. My, oh my. And this sixth chapter, of course, deals with the judgment of God. Now listen to this. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Stars fell from heaven unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely fig. Beloved, we don't appreciate the literal statements that are in this book of what's going to happen. It's going to happen just this way. Now will you turn with me to chapter 11 in the book of Revelation. And in the 11th chapter, we get, I think, is verse 18. And then we'll go into verse 19. Verse 13. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Well, here's a case where the earthquake scared them to death, and we've got to figure. Now, won't it be interesting when that day comes, believing as you and I do, God has written in the Bible the number who will actually die in that earthquake. We'll have no problem with the calculations. No problem with the calculations. Now, if you go back here to chapter 8 and in the 5th verse. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. That's chapter 8. The seals. That's the last of the seals. Beloved, the old world better get ready for a lot of earthquakes. We better get our earthquake relief organized. Just think of this coming out of the Bible so clearly and so beautifully. Now look at verse 19 of chapter 8 it is, verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire. And now we come over to chapter 11, which I just read to you, verse 13. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And then verse 19, now look at this. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. I guess we might as well get ready for some of these things because they're going to come. You know, some of them will come before the rapture. Some of them will come during the tribulation. And then, of course, you get to the end, you're going to have the chapter in Revelation. Now will you turn to Revelation chapter 16, verse 18. I have mentioned this several times because they're building these new buildings in Philadelphia, and they're stretching the skyline above William Penn, and they violated the unwritten law of the city for all those years, but we've got some big ones over there now. And it's in this 16th chapter that you have in reference, verse 16, and he gathered them together unto the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there was voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. Now that's going to be the worst that the world has ever seen. So mighty an earthquake and great. And the great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. They said in Iran that the mountains crumbled and were split. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now let me turn to another aspect of this, and that is those who suffer these judgments turn and blaspheme God. Three times in that one passage, 16th chapter, in spite of all these things that were happening, the rivers being turned into blood. Well, that was nothing. That happened in Egypt with Moses. In spite of all these things, they will blaspheme God. You would think that all this falling upon, they would blaspheme God. No, they just completely blame and blaspheme and tear God to pieces. And when we take a passage like this and follow these earthquakes and see how God used the earthquakes, God intends that these earthquakes will so shake people up and so make men realize that all these things are beyond their power that they'd be willing to listen to him. But no, they blaspheme him. Now that brings me to my third point. And this is what comes home to you and me with such pleasure and with such delight. We do take the Bible literally. We always have. And when you see the way these things are happening, coming very close to what's described here, you say, well, here, we're on the verge of this type of thing happening on this earth. And we are. We're just on the verge of it. Now, the other aspect of this, in which delights my heart and my soul, is that these earthquakes are telling me that I don't have much time. They're telling us that we might as well get prepared to go. Now, I'm not among those that set dates or anything of that sort, and I don't think you should sell all your goods and go somewhere else. But I do think that you and I must recognize that the moment is very clear. It's very, very near. When there will be the trumpet sound, the archangel's voice, and as Paul said, the dead in Christ. Just think of it. Shall rise first. What a spectacle. It's going to be a drama. It's going to be a spectacle like the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then the few of us that are left down here shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That event is very close, and let's rejoice in it, and let's prepare for it, and let's wait in our hearts for this coming of our blessed Lord and Savior. He shall take our vile body. Our vile bodies, and that's just about what they are. These vile bodies of ours, and he will make them over in the likeness of the body, Paul said in Philippians, the likeness of the body that Jesus had the day he rose from the dead. That event is on the horizon because of this earthquake. And I think that you and I, as good Christians and loving the Word and studying the Word, that you and I, as good Christians, can take the Bible as we believe it and see these things unfold and the calamities that are there, they're all going to come. It's a glorious thing. Now we have this marvelous, marvelous account in 1 Thessalonians where I would not have you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. And I think this knowledge that God wants us to have beyond the realm of ignorance, we get out of His Word because we believe Him. And when you and I believe God, we're not ignorant. When you and I accept the plan of salvation that God gave for us, we're not ignorant. When you and I understand the times in which we live, we're not ignorant. When you and I understand earthquakes like we've been having now, we're not ignorant. When we understand these things, we're not ignorant. And we're the people who do know that God has a history, He's unfolding it for us, and He's finally told us how it's all going to end. And the Lord is going to come, put His feet down on the Mount of Olives in that great day, and He'll gather His elect from one end of the heavens to the other. And we shall see Him then take the reins of power. And He won't need the television. He'll just open everybody's eyes. He won't need these things. But our Savior will stand in Jerusalem, sit upon the throne of His father David, and He will be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And this earthquake tells me He's coming to be that King. Our time now is to reach people, to talk to people. And I changed my message this morning just to give you these passages from the Old Testament and the words from the New Testament here, the resurrection of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ. And then we get into the book of Revelation. You see the vials and the trumpets that God's going to pour out. They're not unusual. I read that now. Well, shoot, that's all right. That's going to happen that way. It's not beyond the realm of our looking at things. And you and I must recognize that Jesus has given us this knowledge. Jesus has given us this understanding of our day. Now let's just pray now that this earthquake or others that will come will make people realize that the time is at hand. I've gotten to the place now, I go back and forth to the city quite a bit, you know, and with different things, and they're building those old buildings up there and they're getting so high. I say, well, just wait a minute, just wait a little, you're going to topple over. You're going to topple over, and He will. And the cities of the nations fell. Now this Iran earthquake we just had, all these houses fell, but they weren't big houses. Most of them apparently were made out of adobe. They were adobe houses, and they just collapsed. But even houses of that height went down. Whole cities destroyed. But in Revelation 16, the cities of the nations fell. Well, you have Philadelphia is just a big pile of rubble. That's all it's going to be. And you and I will be able to rise and see the heavens and the wonderful thing that God's going to do for you and me. When we're raised from the dead and He gives us our new bodies and there's no more pain, no more heartbreaks, no more separations. All those wonderful things are just ahead of us. And we have a very short time to bring our loved ones to Christ. We have a very short time to reach men that are going to die and perish unless we reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the message. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank Thee that the pastor was able to take the scriptures this morning, go down through all these beautiful passages, and these earthquakes are not minor things with Thee, they're big events. And they're speaking to us. And may we go from here thanking You, Lord, that they mean that Christ is coming to change us all and give us that which we long for, a body that will be safe and healthy. God bless this message to our hearts today. We're Thy people. And we ask if there's anybody here that isn't saved, that they may accept the Savior today. Oh, Lord God, We're so close to the heavens. We're so close to the end time. We're so close to Thy Word. Thank You for the privilege we've had today of bringing these things out of the Word to the hearts of all our beloved people who believe. Thank You, Father, for our faith. Now take care of us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.